home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And I'm Rob.
And sometimes I will claim to be Garrett Miller. So welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome to the show. We have two fabulous guests tonight. So fabulous. It is mind-boggling how fabulous they are.
Well, it's because it's you and me.
Oh, I know. So
it's quite staggering if you actually think about it. But yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Rob, how you been?
I've been good. So I saved the big topic that we have to talk about tonight. And because we chatted a little bit before the show, and I did hold something back. So
what did you hold back? Are you going to hold back for like the half hour mark and then make everybody wait until then?
No, we've got, I cannot sit on this any longer. So my good friend, my dear man, what is going on with your hair?
It was time for Blonde Jesus to take a vacation. I'm telling you. So, you know, here's the deal. Now you got me on the box, so I'm not going to stop for a second. So when I started to get ready to do the album Blonde Jesus, I wanted to have kind of like this rocker look because, you know, I'm rebelling against the world and, you know, all that fun stuff. So I grew my hair out. When I got ready to do the music video for Blonde Jesus, your hair's not long enough. You need extensions. And of course, you know, I had no money for the extensions, but we made the extensions happen, you know, all for the sake of art. And then once the extensions were in, you know, if you've never had extensions, by the way, don't ever get them. They're a horrible experience to go through. And unless you're lucky to have somebody that did a really good job like I did on mine, they will also look horrible on you.
I think I'm safe because I think in order to have extensions, you have to have something to extend them. And
I agree. So I had the extensions in and the kind that I had were glued in. And then when you have them undone, you have them unglued. And it's as lovely of a process as it sounds.
Whoa.
And so when my hair was unglued and I was going, okay, I've just had these in for 3 months. I probably had them in for 4 months because I kept them a little bit longer than I should. My hair was really, really damaged. And a lot of people didn't know that, but my hair was really damaged. It ruined a lot of my hair and it was not a great experience. However, I still had some length to it. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to kind of ride this out because I had several people saying, we would love you to play a character like a Blonde Jesus character on this show or this project or do that. So don't cut your hair. And so, you know, the conversation went into October, November, December, and then these projects continually stop. You know, I would say, you know, what's going on? Because after I shoot your thing, I'm cutting the hair. Well, we didn't get enough money for it, but we're still, you know, we're still moving ahead. So, you know, just, you know, hang tight. So the last project that I was saving my hair for, hadn't heard anything for probably about 2 months. And I went, oh, this is just never going to happen. And I love the lady that's doing it. She's a lovely lady, but you know, it's like a lot of folks in Hollywood, you have projects that you want to work on, but you've got to work full time yourself just to pay the rent. And then on the other 80 hours a week that you're, you know, running on empty because, you know, you're so creative that you're sleep deprived. Then you try to fund your fun projects like this. And it was just going nowhere. So, you know, and plus, let's just be honest, you know, unless I have a professional stylist, Rob, grooming my hair and combing it and, you know, ironing it out and all that other kind of stuff, it honestly doesn't look that great. And so I talked to my hair person, Larry Esmino, who I want to give a big shout out to. He's probably listening tonight with the Anaheim Hair Company in Anaheim, California. He says, Garrett, I've seen some pictures on Facebook and it's not looking good. You need to come in and get your roots done. And I said, well, you know, I don't really care because I was at a point where like, I don't care, you know, because it's so bad that, you know, something has to be done. So I went in a couple of weeks ago, got the blonde re-blonded and Larry does a great job. And if you think that's not important, go to somebody who really F's up your hair and you'll say, gosh, it's really important.
Blonding is not easy because it's not putting color in. It's sort of taking it out.
It's a process. And so, Larry got all that done. And I kept going, you know, I'm so over this long hair. I'm so over it. But again, love it when somebody styles it because I think it's great. But I mean, I should be a straight guy, Rob, because my ability to do anything, you know, beyond like barely comb, put a comb through my hair is absolutely non-existent. So I was at a tea tasting on Saturday, and you say, that sounds a little gay. I don't really care because it was so fun. I rep or brand for a skincare line called Ladara. And I'm and
okay, you've,
I can get off on that tangent.
Gay card right back. You dropped
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm earning my gay card back. Right back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've used the Ladara product for a couple of years, and they've come out with this new organic, they're called CWGTs, Certified Wellness Grade Teas. And I can go on and give you a big commercial about it and all this. But the long and short of it is the skincare serum is magic, and it's made with goji berries, odorless. It's, you know, great for guys who don't have time or aren't interested in learning a regime, because that's me, because it's like all I got to do is squirt a little bit on, boom, boom, and I'm done. And so now they've come out with these six wellness grade teas from, you know, detox, you know, slimming, stuff for your skin, energize, immune, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, well, when these teas come out, and I promise I have a point when I go through this, but when I got my set of teas, I'm like, ugh, because I already drink tea and I'm a big tea fan, whatever. And then I open up the box and, you know, I open up each of the packages and I'm like, holy crap, these smell great. And then unlike the tea bags that, you know, I'm dipping in the, in, you know, my big mug of water,
right.
The teas all, I mean, you can actually see the ingredients. You can see the flowers. You can see the leaves. You can see all of this because it's not like all mulched up and you're not getting refined, you know, yuck and, you know, hopefully getting some actual tea in there. So my sales pitch aside, you know, the teas were really great. And so my friend Rebecca had signed up to be a, one of our, what we call a marketing partner. Somebody's in it to make a little bit of money. And when we, you know, have product, what we want to do is just like, you know, the old Tupperware, you want to get everybody together and have an event. So I,
right.
you know, Rebecca does psychic work. And so we decided to kind of combine things just for fun and do what's called a tea and clarity event. So we have the tea.
So Rebecca already knew how the event was going to go even before it started then.
She knew it was going to be a success. That's why she did it.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, the whole goal is, you know, you come, sample some tea, hopefully buy some. If you don't, well, you know, you come for some fun, but you also you get an opportunity to ask Rebecca a question or two, you know, so she'll answer a question psychically for you. So you invited a ton of people and people showed up. And one of the people that showed up was Larry, my hair guy. And I went, Larry, what the heck are you doing here? He says, well, I've only got, you know, these other four events that I'm going to today, but I wanted to make sure to stop by. And I thought, well, A, that was really sweet. And so we started talking about the hair and he goes, you know, it now is probably a good time for a change. And so it just kind of got the ball rolling. And so I had this old pictures from 2015, October. It was a article that Brad Pitt did where he was mimicking some pictures Robert Redford did back in the 70s. So, you know, hubba, 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 Robert Redford, hubba, hubba, hubba,
right.
Brad Pitt. And so I sent
hubba,
the article
hubba,
off.
Miller. Yeah.
Well, you know, if I can, you know, climb onto anybody's, you know, 15 minutes of
oh,
fame,
come
I'll
on.
Do it.
Now, that is not that far of a leap. You know,
well,
false modesty aside, it's not that, you know, it's like.
Well, get me a high-powered agent at William Morris Endeavor and start booking me, you know, some major things. And then we'll be like, well, Brad, who? Oh, I've heard of him, I think. But, you know. So anyway, so Larry had these great pictures. And I said, you know, can you do something that's, you know, kind of similar to this? This is, come on in Tuesday. And we'll do it. And I kind of kept all of this a secret because I didn't want to tell everybody, hey, you know, I'm getting a, you know, haircut. Oh, look at me, you know, because I do enough of that anyway.
Right.
And so went in Tuesday and, you know, Larry, you know, I'm sure for a normal haircut, it probably takes him 20 minutes or something like that. And that includes the wash. But it took him about an hour and a half because he wanted to make sure he didn't cut too much. And then, you know, then I'm kind of screwed. And he also wanted to make sure it had a legitimate cut and style to it because I haven't had a cut outside of having, you know, like a eighth of an inch of my hair trimmed off, you know, just to cut off the ends in probably about 2 years. Cause that's really about the time I started growing it out. So Larry took his time and did a great job. So, you know, when I got out of the chair and left, he gave me a cut that I can just kind of like, legitimately not like fake. Oh, I just, you know, ran my fingers through it or, you know, just towel dried it and then left the house. I've got a haircut now that I can towel dry and leave the house and it looks friggin' phenomenal. So I posted that picture yesterday morning. And it's but right now the highest number of likes and comments I've ever had on a picture. It's in the 400s, you know, somewhere right now. And I'm in awe of the fact that everybody have been so polite in the fact that they've been refraining from their we hate your hair comments from the way I've been wearing it to what I'm doing it now. So thanks, everybody. That's the little story.
Too funny. Well, you are not alone in your hair changes, although I didn't get 400 comments, so I'm not jealous. You know, it's like, but,
we'll work on it. I had to pay mine, so there you go.
Well, yeah, I didn't make a big announcement either or post a picture, so maybe that's part of the problem.
Well,
but
hello.
Hello, yeah. So, like, okay,
I'd like
yeah,
people
that
to comment on it, except I didn't post about it or
yeah.
tell anyone.
Okay, well, so here's my big announcement. My beard is back.
What?
I'm now bearded again.
Wow.
Yeah. So it grew back.
So
fast.
What's that like? How long does it take you to grow your beard?
It took a week or a little over a week for it to look like, you know, a real beard again.
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I didn't stay in scruff land very long. And yeah, now it's
so why did you shave it in the first place?
I shaved it in the first place because I was going for a corporate job. And I had interviews lined up, and, you know, the corporate world, at least where I came from, was very clean shaven. And, you know, that was the recommendations made and everything else. Well, after having been with the company I'm with right now for a few months, I noticed that, especially on the younger guys in the company, beards are fairly commonplace. And I just got sick of not having one. I really like my beard, and you know, it's like when you look in the mirror and you just, you know, it's like it doesn't feel like you type thing.
Absolutely.
That's the way it felt. So the beard is back, and I'm glad that it's back. But my sons also got haircuts. I took them to a professional stylist here in Santa Cruz, Beauty by Bash, and oh my gosh, that guy is phenomenal. If you're in the Santa Cruz area, he works
what
for
makes him phenomenal?
Faust. What's that?
What makes him phenomenal?
He just watching him work. It was like watching an artist work on a piece of art with each of the boys. He spent 45 minutes on each of their hair, and the results, I knew he was good, but when it got done, it was like, wow, that is sincerely impressive. So the boys have now their summer cuts, and they look good. And so I think we've covered everything hair in our universe here.
Well, anything that is appropriate to talk about on this forum, that's for sure.
Okay, I stand corrected.
You can talk about the fact that I shaved my body yesterday, because I have to do that about at least once a week. So otherwise, I look like a gorilla.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the furry look, so I'm more au naturel in that regard. So
I mean, everybody's I can't stand hair on my body, because if I stop shaving, I look like I've just come from like a, you know, gorilla compound or something like that.
Well, I don't know about the gorilla compound, but when I was going through puberty, and I was about, I don't know, I'm going to say 16, 17, I was seriously worried I wasn't going to have chest hair. And then it all came in and kind of nice, big, beautiful, you know, everything else. And I was like, yay. So yeah, I'm a furry guy liker. So.
Okay. Hold on here. I'm going to see if I've got a special moment that I can share with the listeners here. Just a second. Dun, 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 dun. I'm not going to play the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
So there we go. There's a little Macho Man for Rob.
Oh, for me. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, okay, who's getting the body felt? Yeah. Okay. I'll be the Macho Man. Yeah. Macho Man. Yes. Okay. Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
We succeeded in taking a quarter of our show and talked about nothing but hair. That's really a record for us.
I think it's just long overdue, because I think we've had many, many days and weeks where we should have been talking about hair and styling and things like that. And we've woefully neglected our listeners for that. By the way, if you're listening tonight, and I haven't even said this, if you want to call in and chat with us, the phone lines are open until 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. 323-657-1493 is the hotline. Our phone lines are open, and you can call and ask Rob and I anything you want. And we might even give you a real answer.
Yeah, and you can tell us what's going on with your hair. I love the little double on hair tundra there where you said it was long overdue, as in like hair do. So,
see, anyway. You get it? I don't have to explain my jokes to you, Rob. That's one of the best things about our friendship here is you get all of my stupid humor.
I know. And then I have to explain it to our listeners.
Well, and they say thank you.
Yeah. No. So anyway, want to talk about some serious stuff or where shall we go from here?
Hey, this is your show. It's your night. You know,
my
I do
show.
This five nights a week here.
Well,
I'd love to do this. You know, what do you want to talk about?
Well, let me just tell you, it is such a pleasure. First of all, it is always a pleasure doing radio with you. I don't ever stress over our show ever.
Such a good time.
Yeah, no, it's like my one set aside hour with my good friend Garrett that I get no matter what. And the fact that everybody else listens in, you know, by the way, I want to shout out to, well, you set it up, but I want to shout out to everybody who's joined the, rated LGBT radio group on Facebook is going crazy.
What is going on with that? We're getting tons of requests all the time for people joining in. And it's like, please, yes, more. Something happened in the last few weeks, Rob.
Yeah, it's like people are just coming on board, and we love it, and we love that you're listening and signing up for that. And if you're listening and haven't signed up, there's a hint. And if you've signed up and you haven't listened, then you're not hearing me right now, so that would be kind of a waste of breath to go over that. But anyway, I had kind of a traumatic weekend radio-wise.
Uh-oh.
On my show out in Santa Cruz. My co-host, Steph Taylor, was off doing festivities in San Francisco, and I was sort of doing the show on my own, and I had this fantastic guest set up, which I actually won't mention because my guest,
we won't say the names,
show did not show up.
How does your guest not show up?
It wasn't for me not being prepared, because I had sent emails to her publicist, and you know, we were all good to go. And I was looking at the clock and it was 2:02 and nobody online. Then, you know, we were starting and nobody online. And it is not easy on live radio when you are supposed to be talking to somebody and you have all your material lined up in front of you and they're all questions and the person isn't there.
Well,
so
we've talked about this before, Rob. You actually, I don't do homework. I mean, I might watch a web series moment, or I might read, you know, a little bit into a book, but I don't do homework on guests. You put in the time and research on the people that you're talking to. So, you know, if somebody's coming on to Out in Santa Cruz live Saturday nights at 7 p.m. only on outinsantacruz.com, you know, people know that they're going to be getting an interesting, educated interview when people are talking with you. And so, you know, the fact that you have a guest that doesn't show up, you know, what do you do, or what happened with your Saturday night?
Oh my God. I was sweating bullets after, let me just put it this way. The engineer came in after the first break and he goes, you're umming a lot tonight. I'm going, Sam, I'm dying here. I don't know what to say next. So, yes, I am umming a lot. Sorry about that. That's just the way it's going to be. And I, you know, I covered my in the news topics and made commentary about it. And I'm just not used to being that kind of radio host. I know there are ones out there that can, you put them in front of a mic for an hour and they just speedboat right on through it. But I don't do well with the, well, this is what happened in the news. What do you think, Rob? Well, I think this, Rob. What do you think?
Right.
You know, that just didn't come naturally to me. And so finally, during the second part of the program and the third part of the program, I was reading articles and everything else. And Sam, the engineer, comes in and is like, you know, if you read too much, you put them to sleep. And it's like, Sam, go to sleep.
What the heck am I going to do?
Go away, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thanks for that insight, Sherlock.
I know, really. You know. I did have, this is what's ironic. About the last 3 minutes of the show, I get a caller who is really good, Rory from somewhere in the local area, and he wanted to talk about LGBT issues and religion, which would have been fantastic. It's sort of like, Rory, why didn't you call 20 minutes ago or half an hour ago? You know, he calls, I literally had to cut him off to end the show. That's how close. And And then after I got off the show, we got a bunch of calls thanking me for having done the show, because the topic of the show was Islamophobia and, you know, not being anti-Muslim. And so a bunch of people listened and liked what I had to say in my rambling. But anyway, so it was, I've got to tell you, you know, public speaking is one of those fears that people have. And I kind of walk through that part of a lot of people's fears. I don't happen to have that fear, but if I did, oh my God, I'd be, you know, in PTSD right now.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad you got through it.
See, now why couldn't I have talked like this then? I could have ranted about how I had no guest on that show. So,
because you're in the heat of the moment, you know, it happens. I've had it, and now, when I first started, I had no guests, and probably for the first year, I was terrified to even ask people to be on the show, believe it or not, you know, because now I'm such a guest whore. It's like, yeah, well, let's put 45 of you on tonight. Let's make that happen. You know, and when I first did this, I did read news articles, and I might've had a co-host a little bit here or there, but I think for me, it was the trial by fire. And so now, it's probably, you know, rare that I'll do it. I'm going to tell you a secret. If I don't have a guest scheduled, which is very rare, I used to panic because, like, I've got to have a guest and I've got to guess what? I found out, you know, it's different when you do it one night a week and you have to do it. But when I do it 5 or 6 days a week, it's okay. You know, especially when I'm not on a quote unquote real live radio station like KSCO 1080 AM in Santa Cruz. You should listen to Rob and Steph Saturday nights at 7 o'clock. You know, nobody comes and crucifies me if I don't do a show. So it's, you know, for, you know, 4 years, I was faithful, right. You know, 50 weeks a year, you know, I had live guests 5 days a week, or, you know, I had a live show. And so, you know, I've done, I don't know, one or two shows last year, maybe one or two this year where I didn't have a guest. And I just was like, you know, we're just going to go on and talk about current events. And I've done a show for an hour or two and I don't mind it, but I don't think that it's, you know, you can listen. This is my opinion and not anybody else's, but my opinion is, you know, you don't really, you know, you don't look at Facebook to see what my opinion is about the Democratic or the Republican presidential, you know, campaign. You're not looking to Garrett for his opinion on the news, because that's not me.
Well,
you know, because
I do,
but you might be, but you are, you are the one, you know? and so if all I'm going to do is read articles. For me, I don't think any of the listeners really care to hear that, because that's not what they're tuning in to listen to, you know. However, in your case, because you do come from a, you know, legitimate journalistic background, you are a very popular blogger and author, and your articles get, you know, featured on Yahoo and the Goodman Project, and, you know, and they go and become viral hits, and they're going to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. You know, you have a completely different take on things. And so when people listen to you, you know, they're listening to a respected journalist that actually has a voice that's important to hear. And so, you know, I think different for you, you know, but I don't mind rambling. I mean, clearly you can tell I don't mind rambling, because I spent 15 minutes talking about my friggin' haircut.
Well, the thing is, too, I mean, it does make a difference with co-hosts, because with you, like, you know, you could tell me any week of any time we have our show, we have no guests, and I don't even think twice about it, because I know
I don't either.
We'll get on and we will have things to talk about. And, you know, look at what we did tonight. We spent 20 minutes on hair, and I think we were actually interesting. But
I
you
hope
know,
so. This is riveting radio, folks.
That's right. Sit on the edge of your seat and we will tell you what peroxide we are using. No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and the same thing with Steph on out in Santa Cruz. You know, we have had many shows where we have just come up with a topic and we've talked about them, and those have been, you know,
they're fun.
Actually, some of the better shows even.
Yeah.
There was one show in particular where it was about this lesbian mom in, I forget what state she was in. She hit the news. She had gone to a sperm donor and they had picked out their number of who they wanted. And it was some, you know, white guy, you know, donor guy. And they mixed up the numbers and she ended up getting the sperm from an African-American gentleman. And so,
oh my
surprise, when the baby was born, you know, out pop this baby who was not Lily White. And so this lesbian mom was making this very big stink about it and suing the place and all this stuff. Well, that, first of all, it offended me because that isn't, that goes very much against what I view as a parent. And, you know, if you have anything locked on your children in terms of what they must be, you're going to be disappointed and you're probably going to fail at being a great parent. You know, it's part of the adventure of being a parent is enjoying whatever it is your children become. Well, with Steph, it was even further. She was so irate. And we spent an hour on that. We had no guest. It was just us and that topic, and boom. That was a powerful boom of a show.
Well, you know, I don't think it's really much different. And this is how I always approach every show. And, you know, we might be, you know, behind the microphone or behind our computer, you know, in our respective studios, wherever we're at. But I always look at the show, and I don't care where the guest is at either. I always look at it as like we're sitting down for coffee or lunch, and we're just talking. And, you know, you might have a book to sell or a movie to promote or whatever. But it'd be no different than if, you know, Rob and I are sitting down face-to-face, and, you know, that a topic comes up that we want to talk about, and we'll talk about it for an hour. And then you go, holy crap, an hour went. Unfortunately, here at the 59-minute and 59-second mark, the show shuts off.
Yeah.
So whether we're done or not, our lunch is over, folks.
I know. And we've had that. I've had shows with you where we've had our 59 minutes, boom, and it's like, I've got to call Garrett because I wasn't done with that.
Yeah.
You know, so we've had to continue it. So anyway, I do want to mention one thing, speaking of guests and all that, is we do have, hopefully, knock on for Micah. He will show up this week, hint, hint to the universe. But I have author L.R. Hartsong will be on Out in Santa Cruz on KSEO.com and OutInSantaCruz.com Saturday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. L.R. Hartsong, he is the author of The Sacred Masculine. And you should listen because you in particular, I think, would really like his work. His writing is absolutely gorgeous, poetic, wonderful. But it's all about the sensuality of the masculine and appreciating. He kind of digs into it in terms of nature and sort of masculinity on a spiritual level, and how gay men, not because we're superior or different or whatever, but because of who we are, we're very rooted in this sacred masculinity that's just happens to be our space. And he wrote a whole book on it, and it is just, it's absolutely fascinating, especially to hear him talk about it. So it should be a really wonderful show.
If I'm around on Saturday, and I very well may be, but you know how things change, but if I'm around on Saturday, I'm going to listen. But if I'm not there, ask him if it's still okay for me to shave my body, because I'm not stopping.
I'm sure he will approve of that, but I will make a point of asking him. Plus,
okay,
don't forget, on KSEO.com, we have recordings of all the past shows. So even if you miss it, you can listen to it after the fact.
And that might be one we have to go back and listen to just for the sake of listening to it a second time or third time.
Right, right. So
yeah, I'm down for that. That's going to be a great show.
I'm actually looking forward to it. He's a good friend of mine, which is why I'm pretty sure he's going to show up, because I can track him down and do something.
You'll hunt
him
down. I love it. So if you know, he's a good guest on your show, see if he wants to come on and do ours sometime too.
We're already there. Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that we do, you know, I don't really think we need to, you know, kind of help Scott with his Left of Straight show, because he's booking, you know, all the A-listers now. But, you know, for all the shows, you know, we always say, you know, if you want to be on another show, you know, we're glad to make an introduction. And, you know, there are all the other hosts like Scott and, well, you know, your show, I mean, in particular, but support. Always say the same thing. You got a book to sell, you got something to promote, you know, let me make an introduction. And you know, because people get stuff, they got to move off the shelves. And you know, if they're a good guest, I think it's always fun to have them on, especially if you've had
true.
A chance to talk to them a little bit before.
Very true, very true. So I've got some in the news stuff. If you want to cover some LGBT world stuff, we had one, and this is kind of goes to radio shows. And in this case, this is about a video blogger. You know, it's like one of those, I don't know how these people do it. They get on YouTube, they start a video show. Most of them are like 20 something cute, and they kind of say cute things and then they edit it. So they're all kind of jumping around and all that sort of stuff. And they get like buku watchers and, you know, usually young girls.
If I could figure that out, I would be doing that without, instead of doing the show. I will tell you that right now, Rob.
Well, I think the real secret there is our shelf life has probably expanded away from that particular audience. It's, you know, it's sort of a 20 something type of deal. Anyway, this young man's name is Callum McSwiggan. He's had some controversy before. He did some, he did one of his YouTube things. One of them that went viral was him confessing that he had done gay porn, you know, and, you know, it was like, okay, whatever. And, you know, he was so sorry for that and, you know, whatever. So anyway, Mr. McSwiggan, went to one of the video bloggers conventions in, and it's around West Hollywood somewhere. And after the convention, he went out to the Abbey, and something then happened as he was leaving the Abbey. There are two versions of this, but according to him, he was attacked and a hate crime had been committed. He was beaten up for being gay. And then next thing you know, on Instagram is this picture of him beaten up with a thing about how he had been attacked, you know, and it was hate crime. And LGBTQ Nation picked it up, and I'm not sure who else. And it was, you know, there was a lot of concern going on around that. But he had talked about how he'd been treated like a second class citizen in this. And, you know, it was kind of murky as to what the authorities were, how they were treating him. Well, then it comes out that, in fact, according to the LAPD, there was no hate crime. He was arrested for vandalizing somebody else's car. He was in jail. And this part, he does admit that he inflicted a lot of the damage to himself. He picked up a phone and whacked Ace a few times while being held in this jail. So there are now accounts that are different on why he did that. He still claims he was victimized, but he was being held in the cell and they were asking for $20,000 bail, and he was from England and he didn't know what that meant. So he had to mess up his face so they'd send him to medical, and kind of like going, okay, you know, that's kind of not how we do things over here, but okay, whatever. The LAPD has a whole different story. The people that he was had the encounter with, say he was drunk and unruly and picking fights with people, and there was no hate crime. And so again, bottom line, whether they're two stories or not, there seems to be a little bit more of that crying wolf victim thing going on here. And that in itself drives me crazy. I get so furious because there are so many people, especially transgender people, who get beaten up. There are gay men who have been actually gay bashed. And because so many of these attention seekers get out there and do this nonsense, when the real things happen, people don't take them seriously.
Right. And well, it's the you know, the cry wolf syndrome, you know, and for anybody who's, you know, and I don't care what it is, if it's hate crimes or, you know, getting a speeding ticket or whatever. And I don't mean to minimize anybody's real drama in life that takes place that's just fundamentally wrong. But, you know, knock that crap off when you have to, you know, sit here and make up stuff to give yourself validation because you're a dick. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, you screwed up. You're fucking it up. Pardon my French. And now you've got to do this so maybe somebody will take pity upon you because you're an ass. You know, he could stay in jail for all I care for that.
Yeah. Well, he's apparently out because he did go to because of the injuries he
inflicted. Now it's the news story and all that. Yeah.
He went to medical or whatever. So, but yeah, that anyway, I'm a little bit afraid for him as a young person because I think he is setting himself on a path that is destructive. And I hope he turns things around because there are different choices he's making in his life. If he was my son, we would be having serious talks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that brings up an interesting point, you know, because we look at, you know, the people that are in the media today, and I wish I followed football more, but this, is it Johnny Manziel or Zeal or whatever the heck his name is? That's, and I don't even really know what the heck is that, you know, he's completely screwed up his life, but everybody is, oh my gosh, because, you know, this, and he's just, and everybody's trying to get him fixed up. And he's like, you know, I make millions of dollars a year and I'm going to screw up my life. You can do anything that you want. So don't try to, you know, I think people just need to walk away and let them be screwed up.
You kind of lost me at football.
So it doesn't really matter if they're LGBT or, you know, anything. It's just the fact that people are going to be screwed up and people are going to make poor choices. Right. And, you know, regardless of the fact that you want to help them, you know, make better choices in life, you know, there's only so much you have control over time and space, you know, and this is an interesting topic because, you know, your kids are starting to grow up. And I know historically in the past, I've been, you know, one that needs to, you know, come to the rescue of everybody, fix everybody, make sure everybody's happy. And quite frankly, I mean, I don't wish ill on anybody, but quite frankly, most of my life now is spent on working on things I need to do for me. And if you're, you know, if there's something I can do to try to help you, I'm within reason, I'm glad to do it, but you're not getting any money from me and you're, you know, I'm not going to, you know, drive 500 miles to go pick you up because you made a bad choice or whatever. You know, some of these things you got to, you know, figure out on your own.
Well, but on that point, I think especially when you've lived life for the few years that you and I have, that you start to understand that rescuing people like that is actually not helping them. That's enablement.
It's not helping them at all.
And enablement is actually destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Because
then
people manage their lives around being enabled by somebody else, and they never do. They need to survive on their own. And so that, you know, not abandoning people, but giving them what they need to build on their own is the important part, in my opinion.
I'll agree to some degree, but I don't think that it's, you know, I think that there are a lot of folks out there. And, you know, I will tell you, in the last year, I've had a lot of people help me. So I'm grateful for everybody who has lent me a hand, helped me out, and, you know, contributed to my life in all the ways that you have. But I also look at that as, you know, it was a little humbling, and I will be honest about that, but it was something that I said, okay, you know, for X number of years, I've, you know, given money freely. I've been over backwards. I've done, you know, without even asking, I've done whatever for people. And, you know, it was never like, okay, I'm keeping a list and checking it twice. Cause that's just not me. And so this last year it was, you know, oh, okay, this is what it's like when somebody, you know, reaches out and helps you out. And it was a much different experience for me. And I'm grateful for all of that, but
well, except let's differentiate that though, because and I don't know the specifics about when you reached out this year, but I can pretty much guarantee that it wasn't because you had made some bad life choice. In fact, all the choices I've seen you make this year have been healthy ones. So there's a difference between getting help to move ahead.
Yeah,
and when somebody does something like this, where they have made a bad choice. They've either
a bad choice and make another one and another one. And let's go for bad choice number three. Do we got a, you know, Groupon on them?
Right. And now that I've made these bad choices, I'm not going to pay the consequences. I'm going to call you and you're going to fix it for me. That's enablement.
Right. Yeah. No. I don't know. Nope.
Yeah. So it's that, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, don't help anybody, because I think that there is value in both helping and a point in your life when you have to ask for help, when you truly have to ask for help to do the right thing, because you're in a situation where there are situations that are out of your control. I mean, I'm dealing with that with senior parents right now. And, you know, it's like that I've had to ask for help there. And that wasn't because I had screwed something up. It's because I have two parents with Alzheimer's. And, sometimes that's a little much. So,
So,
boy, we have sure run the gamut in the show. We've gone from hair to Alzheimer's. That's a new record for us.
Well, and we're just getting started. We've got 20 minutes left. I don't even know what's going to happen in the last 20.
Well, I've got more. So,
but wait, there's more. Okay.
There's more. So, in the realm of our transgender friends, two very interesting pieces of news have come out in the last day. One is the UCLA Williams Institute released a study. And one of the things that is always very murky is the size of our different LGBTQ populations. And they've actually put a number on their estimate of transgender people in the United States. And that number is 1.4 million.
Wow.
That is their estimate of how many people in the United States identify as transgender. And that is not really a little number, in my opinion.
That's a huge number.
Yeah. So that is what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, a Caitlyn Jenner over there and, Chaz Bono over here. We have a population out there, the people who need to be treated right, equally and appropriately.
Can I go ahead? Sure. I think we can say all that we want about Chaz Bono and Caitlyn Jenner, just because they're higher profile people in a, you know, celebrity sense that may have come from maybe a different lifestyle than, you know, everybody else in the world. But I think it's given a lot of voice to people who might otherwise not feel comfortable, or it's just open doors that I think that, you know, readily, even though you don't really necessarily want Caitlyn Jenner to speak for the community, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is a visible voice, you know, and I've had two friends that have both had, and this is in the last, I don't know, 60 days. And so it came as a huge shock to me, but I've had two very good friends of mine with kids. And I say kids, you know, I think one is around 10, 11, and the other one is 14, 15, something like that. And they've both confided to me that their kids have come to them and said, you know, they've told me that they're transgendered. You know, what do I do? Or, you know, here's what's going on. And, you know, they're telling me in confidence. So, you know, one was a girl that wants to be a boy, and the other one's a boy that wants to be a girl. And I had the chance to talk to one of the kids, and, you know, he told me, he goes, well, you know, I think I'm transgendered. And I said, okay, and what does that mean to you? He goes, well, you know, I know I'm physically a boy right now, but my soul and, you know, and by the way, he started talking to me and my eyes went in the back of my head because he was talking at such a high level. And from an intelligence standpoint, I didn't even know where to go. He's like, you know, but my soul and, you know, everything about me, who I am, my core is really female. And I've known this for a very long time. And then, you know, just continue to talk about it. And I just said, well, you know, that's cool. You know, so how do you feel about this? And I didn't know the conversation was going to take place. So I didn't come with notes to, you know, make any really profound statements, but I just said, well, that's cool. You know, you just keep being you and, you know, you've got your friends and your family and they're going to love you. And that's all that really matters. And he goes, yeah, but you know, I just needed to tell you my secret. And I said, well, thank you for telling me your secret. I didn't know what else to say at that point. So I probably need to get some
talking. I think
you
said the right thing. I think you listened. That was the right thing.
Okay.
You know,
But if we were looking, you know, 5 years ago, Rob, or 10 years ago, if these same kids, you know, granted these kids were, you know, either not born or, you know, too, you know, way too young, but there was no way we would have those types of conversations with kids coming to you and saying, hey, by the way, I'm transgendered. I just wanted to tell you that. And then not only just, you know, say they're transgender, but have a fully, you know, fairly comprehensive understanding of what that means.
Right.
If you told me at that age, I would have no clue.
About what happened, and especially with you being there and just listening and saying, you know, oh, that's great. And what happened there is the really significant thing, because they have done enough of this that they understand that if that young person that you talk to, who is a girl in a boy's body, didn't get that grounding then, if they continued closeted, dealt with that, dealt with depression, dealt with all the issues, that 70% of the people who grow up without support, like you just provided, for that person, 70% attempt suicide.
Oh, wow.
Whereas kids, I've worked now with two sets of parents, I've written about them. In fact, one set, Vanessa and Ron, just came out in, I'm going to forget the other publication that did them. I wrote about them and it was out in all the publications I work with. But their daughter, Ellie, was born, you know, presenting as a boy, informed them very early on that she was in fact a girl, and they completely supported her. They wrote a letter to the school, said, this is the deal. This is what's going on with Ellie. This is who she is. We're supporting her. You know, this is it. And Ellie is this beautiful, vibrant little girl, just, you know, so full of personality and wonderful. And what they found is the kids who grow up with that kind of support have no difference in terms of their mental health issues and suicide attempts and anything else than kids with, you know, I'm saying no problems, but that are unaffected. I mean, that is the secret to the mental health and well-being of that part of the population, is they need to be accepted early on. You know, mm-hmm. That's not to say that they get reassignment surgery or anything like that. They just need to be given their ability to manage their destiny and support it.
Yeah. When we were growing up, what would have been something that, you know, from a society level, and I don't care if that's your classmates or your extended family, what would have been something that you would have liked to have been more supported on, that you felt really either ashamed or embarrassed about? Do you remember anything like that?
Well, being gay it wasn't targeted at me specifically, but I had feelings about being gay as early as like 7 years old. And
wow.
I, you know, I was very aware of that aspect of myself. And so I certainly took on a lot of the subtleties over the years of trying to manage that part of myself and not let it be seen or made apparent or anything like that. So, yeah, I carried that one, you know, pretty consistently. So, you know. Sort of an obvious one, I guess, but yeah, that one was pretty much there for me. How about for you?
You know, I look back now and, you know, I don't know. See, when I grew up, I didn't really think of it in terms of this was happening or that's happening, you know, like we do today, because everything now is under such a microscope and everything has to be so politically correct and everything is, you know, and I would say blown out of proportion, but everything gets a spotlight, you know? And that is, I think, something that is, you know, I think in some ways it's great. In other ways, it's like, you know, come on. But I do look back, you know, and I probably, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth grade, you know, something like that. And, you know, let's face it, I wasn't exactly, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage or anything like that. But I mean, I had a great friends and stuff like that, but I still had neighborhood kids that would, you know, kind of chase me home from the bus every once in a while if they're trying to be extra dicky that particular day.
Right.
And, you know, I just never really thought about it. And, you know, today I would look at it and go like, oh my gosh, I'm getting bullied or I'm getting picked on. I need to tell somebody. But in those days, you just, you know, you needed to be, this is such a bad thing to say, so I apologize ahead of time, but you just needed to man up a little bit. And so that was, you know, hard for me because, you know, you're scared to death, you know, get your neighbor kids, you know, chasing you home from the bus stop. And, you know, they really weren't going to do anything anyway, but it's, you know, you don't know that.
Right.
And, you just, you know, you're stuck because, you know, you don't want to be a tattletale. You don't want to be that person because then you're going to get, you know, that label on top of everything else because now you're a sissy and a tattletale. Well, there's a double, you know, I don't know.
Well, here's the irony about, though, about what you just observed, which I'm not disagreeing with, but that you were supposed to just man up thing, that was actually an illusion. I don't think anybody actually, quote unquote, manned up. I mean, it's there. Part of the at-risk population out there, ironically, is men, you know, and we hear a lot about, you know, white male heterosexual privilege and all that, which is in context of certain things true, but in another context, it's very much not true. It's got this horrible dark side to it, which is in the United States, 77% of suicides are men, are male.
Wow.
So, you know, it's, you know, and that's not, you know, I that sounds horrible to say to women, like, you know, your suicide numbers aren't high enough, but, you know, that is dramatic. That's, you know, over three quarters of the suicide are one gender. And, you know, it's because men have been forced to this quote unquote man up place. They don't report mental health issues at the rates women do. Mm. They, you know, it's you man up, you hold it in,
yeah.
You take care of it.
Suck
yourself.
It up.
Yeah. And many men, when they reach middle age, also because they're manning it up on their own, they don't have friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're friendless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really, it there is a huge detriment to that environment that, you're right, was what you were supposed to do, but it didn't really work. So
no.
that was a bad thing. But one other thing I want to highlight for our transgender friends is the Pentagon just announced that the ban against transgender people has been lifted for the military. So
isn't that cool?
Yeah. Speaking of the quote unquote traditional manning up thing, you know, serving in the military is now okay. So that was pretty cool.
And for anybody who wants to serve in the military, God bless you. I more power to you, because I know that your heart's in the right place and you want to do, you know, the right thing for your country, and we appreciate you. So thank you for whoever's doing this, you know, thank you very much. And I'm so glad that they have made that an option.
So I've got one more at-risk group since we've sort of gone on a theme here.
That
just a little piece of information. Another report was out, and this one was from the University of Vanderbilt, and this was a study about not the L, not the G, not the T, the B, the bisexual invisibility problem, and the healthcare problems, the health problems of that part of our population. Because the bisexuals, and I've got quite a few bisexual friends, and they have educated me very big time on this. You know, a lot of us in, you know, gay people and other parts of the community look at bisexual people like they sort of got a free ride, you know, because the only part of their lives that in our perception that got scrutiny was the part where they were participating in their gay side or their this side or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is they are bisexual. That is their identity. And even if they are a man, they're a bisexual man, and they're in a monogamous relationship with a woman, and the whole picture looks very straight, the fact is he's a bisexual man, and
mm-hmm.
or she's a bisexual woman.
Mm-hmm.
And this has led to, they've now have studied that people who are in that position end up having higher risk of alcoholism, smoking, suicide, domestic abuse. All of those factors have gone up because of them being in this situation where they have to deal with all these incorrect perceptions about them and the secret they have, and, you know, living less genuinely, you know, that they're kind of passing, but they feel at risk because they know that's not truly them. And the reason, the point about this study was not just to say, you know, there's a bisexual invisibility problem and it is hurting people, but that healthcare providers need to be aware of that. So that when they're looking at a lot of these situations, they need to look at whether this person's bisexual and whether that visibility or lack of it is hurting them.
Well, you hope that, you know, as things are changing, and, you know, you have to think if you're in healthcare, you know, you'd be like, okay, you know, whatever's whatever, and just kind of be done with it. I guess I'm still shocked when I hear people saying, well, I can't tell my doctor I'm gay, or I can't tell my doctor I'm this, or I can't tell my doctor. It's like, who else are you going to tell? That's the person you tell all this stuff to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't, it'd be like, if you're not comfortable telling your doctor, you need to go find a different doctor.
Or whatever,
you know.
To quote my good friend Garrett Miller, you need to man up.
Man up.
Pardon the expression. Man up to your doctor.
That's it.
No, you need to. And I think that's actually part of the study, too, is awareness for the people who are in that situation that it isn't okay just to sit on who you are and hide it and hide your feelings and hide your all of that. It is unhealthy to do so. You know, be out. Be you. Be yourself. It is important. It is healthy. And it will threaten your health if you're not. I mean, that is the news behind it.
We've got 3.5 minutes left, Rob. What are we going to talk about?
Well, we can talk about what you've been doing this week and what's going on your show this week.
Well, I'm going to tell you a real quick story. Okay, so on Friday last week, a casting director friend of mine says, hey, I've got a friend who's casting for a new movie on Sunday, and I asked her if there's anything that you could read for, and she says, yes. I said, this is great. So he gives me her information, tells me to email and text her, so I do all this stuff, and she sends me the sides for the role that I have to go in and audition for on Sunday. So, you know, of course, the role is being, and I love the story, so I'll make it quick. They're looking for a 38-year-old Australian ex-rugby football player / MMA fighter / bouncer. And
typecasting. Oh my God.
I know, totally typecasting for me. And so the only thing that I have going for me is blonde hair, because everything else is, you know, like completely not me. And so I get it and I call my friend and I said, what is this? I said, you know, I don't have an Australian accent. And he says, you're going to get one. You got 12 hours, make it happen. So I called up my friend Mary Lou Monroe Ray. She's, of course, been a guest co-host on this show. She's interviewed people, I say on this show, on the Rated G network of shows. And so she read lines with me for about a half an hour. And God bless her. She actually read the entire scene that I had to do. And using her Australian accent, because that's how she talks. So she was talking normal. She put out an MP3, sent it to me. And for all of Saturday night, and then for about 4 hours on Saturday before I go into the interview or the, I'm rehearsing my lines, and the scary one's Gracie. She, you know, talks a big game, but her, you know, she's got money, you know. So I do this whole fake accent and stuff, going and do the audition, and I was totally fine until I get in there, and then I go to the audition, and I'm in the room, and I'm getting nervous, and I'm like, what the heck. So I did it. They were so nice. They walked me outside. They spent time with me. So I thought that was really, really cool. And then I get an email on Monday morning saying, Garrett, we're really sorry. We didn't, you know, we went in a different direction, but thank you very much. And so I sent him a note, said, thanks so much for your time and really enjoyed coming to meet you and blah, blah, blah. Really cool, folks. And so my casting director friend emails back and says, oh, I heard from, you know, so-and-so. And she said the reason you didn't get it was because you were too pretty, and they went with somebody who's even older than you, because, you know, I'm like not 38, and who looks more like Mickey Rourke. And I went, okay, because that has nothing to do with, you know, what you were looking for what you were doing. So I had to laugh, because I wanted to reach out and give that lady a hug and a kiss for saying, oh, you're too pretty. You're too pretty. Why we didn't give it to you.
Brad Pitt has – he better be looking over his shoulder.
Yeah,
there, I tell you.
Tomorrow on the Friday night dance party, we've got the show starting at 6 p.m. Jonathan Cavier is calling in at 6, and at 7, Lexica is coming back. So we're getting two artists tomorrow night starting at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's here. Rob, 10 seconds. What's happening on Saturday night on your show real quick?
That's L.R. Hart's song, and you know, we're looking forward to him.
There we go. Yeah. Everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. Rob and I love doing this with and for you. If you like the show, tell your friends, share the link to the show, invite your friends to join our Rated LGBT Radio Facebook page. and be part of the fun. We love having you here, and we love doing this for you. We'll see you live next Thursday, everybody. Take care, and have a great night.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.